Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. It's always fun when Joan joins us, and also a little acerbic. It's always a little spicy when Joan joins us. Joan, welcome back.
A little acerbic?
Just a little bit.
Oh, okay. I'll have to do better. Sorry.
You're going to have to ratchet it up a notch or two, aren't you?
Ratchet up the acerbicness.
I didn't mean to insult you there, Joan.
Yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah. Joan, the news. The news is that President Bush addressed the nation this week about his plan, his Iraqi plan that he's been promising for a month or so. And I'd like to just quickly go down through some of the high points of what he said, and then we can talk about it. One thing he said was that he wanted to add an additional 22,000 U.S. troops.
Right.
17,500 would go to Baghdad and 4,000 to Al Anbar province, which, as you may know, folks, is the kind of the egg-shaped province. Think of an egg on its side is about the best way I can think of describing the Al Anbar province, which includes the Sunni triangle. It's where the Sunnis have been the strongest,
right.
And it includes Fallujah and what's the other one to the west of there? Not Najaf. Najaf is south, I think. There's another place over there that on the west and the left of Baghdad, and so that's all part of the Al Anbar province, where most of the trouble is, right, Joan?
Yes, exactly.
And so he's going to add troops there. It's going to cost about $6.8 billion extra this year just for that. Total cost of the war so far, Joan, $286.5 billion.
Wow. That's a chunk of change.
He expects to deploy 10,500 additional Iraqi troops, 9 additional 800-man police brigades in Baghdad. These are Iraqi police brigades.
Right.
The new rules for engagement, I think, is something that's maybe one of the biggest differences. Apparently, our guys over there have been constricted in what they could do because they couldn't attack certain people, like certain Iraqis that were part of the militia or whatever. I'm not quite sure about that, but apparently some of those restrictions are going to be off the table now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I'm hoping that's going to be the case. I think that's a good idea. He's telling Iraq there's no open-ended commitment of our involvement, but he did not set a timetable. And he did say that Iraqis will have to take the lead in being responsible for security for Iraq by November. The other thing that he said quickly is he did fire a shot across Iran's bow and Syria's bow. And he basically said, we're not going to let those guys have influence in Iraq like they have had. And also, he basically, in one little quick sentence, he said, and we're not going to let Iran get nuclear power, nuclear capability. Now, Joan, here's my big question. Why didn't we do all this and more 2-3 years ago?
Well, that's kind of the question I had, because the president did say that the previous strategy had failed and that he has to change course and move ahead. But you're right, this could have been done, I don't know why, a year or two or three ago.
Yeah, it should have been done a long time ago. In fact, I subscribe... In my military training, taught me to, if you've got overwhelming force, use overwhelming force.
Right.
And that's also the Colin Powell philosophy, and I wish we'd done that to start with. You know, I said in the very beginning, if they don't protect the borders, if they don't go in and secure the country, give it to the Iraqis, and then move to the borders and not let any of the outsiders come in, I felt like we should have spent more of our time originally protecting the Iraqi borders on the east and the west.
Right.
And preventing those folks from coming in. We've got to stop the Iranians. By the way, Joan, another thing that's happened overnight is the Shiite leaders. Abdulaziz al-Hakim, who's one of the top political Shiite leaders. He holds like a 130-person block in the parliament. He controls right. them. He came out overnight in favor of Mr. Bush's plan. And he's right. telling the militia to stand down.
Ah, well, that could be important.
That's very important.
Right, right. And, of course, a lot of the success of this whole thing is going to hinge on Mr. Is it Maliki?
Yep.
Mr. Maliki.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the press reports say this morning that one of the reasons that this new effort is likely to succeed where previous ones failed is a commitment from him to provide resources that are needed mm-hmm. for the military and
right.
to crack down on sectarian violence, which is the big problem right now.
Well, another thing that's part of this, and I didn't mention it, is also Mr. Bush wants to increase the economic support, the economic aid, helping the people get jobs, helping them with their economy, which, Joan, as you may know, I've reported on this show for now more than three years with a handful of different people who are on the ground in Iraq, and that's what they've talked about, that we've already done a lot of that. But apparently
right.
we need to do more of that.
Still basic infrastructure problems in terms of services such as electricity that the people still don't have
right.
in a lot of places.
Well, the essence of what has to be done is there has to be basic security in Iraq. If you can't have security,
and other things will flow from that.
You can't build infrastructure. People can't go to work.
Right.
People don't feel safe. They don't feel like they don't know who to trust. You know, who am I in danger from today? And so anyway, it's a very important thing that all of us, regardless of how you feel about the war, Joan, anybody feels, this is what we have here is an opportunity waiting to happen or a mess waiting to happen. And right now it's a mess, and we've got to do something with it, and we don't need to fail over there. That's one thing we do not need to do.
Right, right.
So anyway, I as you know, Joan, my son is in Al Anbar province.
Yes.
Right now. And so I very, very much want this thing to be successful, and I want those guys to have all the stuff that they need, all the tools they need, all the equipment they need, and we need more cooperation from the Iraqi people.
That's right.
It can't be us wanting it more than them, Joe. That's when things will change, when we start believing that the Iraqis want this as much as, if not more than, Americans. Stand by. We're going to get into the letter when we come back to these messages with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us.
Know that life is a gamble.
The Who, ladies and gentlemen.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. One of the great songs there for the rock opera Tommy. Joan Pride is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan is
Jim,
senior
Jim.
Editor. What? What, Joan?
There's been music made in the last... I mean, they're still making music nowadays.
But Joan, you can hear that on the radio. You don't get you can't hear classics like that unless you listen to the Small Business Advocate show.
That's why I listen to get my dose of classic rock.
Exactly.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why you come here. Besides my charm.
Oh, is that the other reason?
You come here for the music, don't you, Joan? There's that heavy dose of acerbic that we all know and love.
Yes, called sarcasm.
That's right. Yeah. Joan, let's talk about the economic forecast. Has Kiplinger changed their thinking on the economy for 2007?
Well, we're saying that we've got a new forecast on GDP growth. That growth is going to slow to between 2% and 2.5%.
That's kind of bearish, Joan.
Yeah, it's a little bearish.
You're getting into EU territory now, European territory.
Uh-oh. And even though, you know, I noticed that we say that inflation is easing off to 2.5% in 2007, but, you know, there's been a lot in the news lately about how the Fed, you know, there's a lot of hope that the Fed would ease sooner rather than later, and they're sending out signals that they're not going
interest
to.
Interest rates, you mean? Yeah,
yes.
These interest rates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if let me tell you something, Joan. See, I see a contradiction in your prediction there.
Okay.
You have interest rates staying at 8.25 through 07. If inflation goes to 2.5, interest rates will come down.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. And then growth should rise.
And of course, as you know, Joan, I predicted that inflation would go to 3% and interest rates would still come to 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To 8. Prime rate, I should say.
Right.
Would be 8. And of course, Fed funds is three below that.
And all of us who have home equity lines of credit would just love to see prime going down.
Joan, what about the employment situation? 1.3 million jobs in 07?
Yeah, I'll take it. That's not bad.
Absolutely. Well, You know, Joan, I don't see how you can look at 1.3 million new jobs and still look at 2% growth rate. If companies are believing that they can hire 1.3 million new employees, that's a better economy than 2% growth, in my opinion.
Right. Now, of course, I'm wondering, we have a range there, so it could be as high as 2.5, which is pretty good, but
right.
That's kind of a big range to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I'll tell you something, there's something else, though, Joan. Other countries, I think, are predicted to have a pretty good year in 07. So some of that growth may be in the area of international trade.
Well, and we've discussed another one of those cute little boxes that we do, and I think in most cases we had a list of countries, and I think most of them were going to do better this year than they did last year.
All right. Now, here's one, Joan. I may have caught you guys in one here.
Uh-oh.
You guys say crude oil is going to be around $70 per barrel by early spring.
Yes, we did say that.
I predicted that it would stay at around $60, and guess where it is today, Joan?
What is it, about 54, 55?
54, yeah.
Wow. So I guess the gas at the pump's going to go tumbling down below $2?
No, not so much.
No,
not so much.
You know,
so it always the decrease always lags behind what happens when there's an increase.
But so what, Jim? Then why, if the price per barrel were to shoot up tomorrow, gas prices would follow 5 minutes later?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, it's the same thing with banks. When banks, when interest rates go down, when the Fed funds rate goes down, banks will get around in the next day or two to lower prime rate.
Yeah.
But if interest rates go up, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's one of those things. It's one of those gotchas in the marketplace, Joan. I don't know what you can do about it. But you got, now here's a troubling one, though, Joan. Housing sales are going to be down 8%. That is kind of troubling.
Yes, it is.
I don't know about that. I can't quibble with your percentage. I don't know, but what that? And I guess what I'm getting at, an 8% reduction in housing sales. That's not a. I'm not going to say that's a bursted housing bubble nationally, but that big of a drop would get into more than just the high end markets.
That's right.
That would get out into Peoria.
Right. Right.
And Dubuque. You know.
Well, and we've always said it's so hard to talk about the housing market as a monolithic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I think 2007 overall in the macro, from a macro view, 2007 is going to be a pretty darn good bread and butter year. I don't think it's going to be anything that we're going to write home about. We're not going to look back and say, wow, what a year. I just think it's going to be one of those darn good years where...
Okay, I'm writing this down. Darn
exactly,
good.
It's going to be a darn... That's one of those... That's a technical
year.
Economic term that I learned in my college economics.
Yeah,
darn good. It's going to be a darn good year for the economy, and it'll be one of those years where we can all sort of take a breath, we can focus on fundamentals. We're still doing enough business to grow a little bit, to be excited a little bit, but not so overheated, Joan, that we're so busy trying to chase growth that we can't focus on fundamentals.
And then inflation would go up if that happened.
Yeah, right. we needed a year like this next year, like 07. We needed that year for businesses to sort of be able to do the right amount of business and then focus on, you know, getting their systems established and getting retooled and focusing on the rest of the decade. I think it's going to be a good year. Stay with us. 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Joan Pride is our guest.
And now back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble, here at your service. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it to your advantage. I hope you'll take more advantage of it and subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget our blog and all the other things that are there. And remember, there's no barrier to entry. If you can get there, if you can get to my site, we'll let you in. You can roam around there and use it all you want. And nobody will know that you're there. I won't even know you're there unless you subscribe. And then we kind of have to know who you are if we're going to send you stuff. Joan Pride is our guest, as I said. And Joan's with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're working off of the Kiplinger Letter, which is now in its 84th year. And Joan, over on page 2, you guys talk about the resiliency of the U.S. economy. And one of the things, we were talking about 1.3 new jobs in 07. The economy, according to Kiplinger, grew significantly, or I should say the employment rate grew significantly in December, didn't it?
Yes, we added a healthy 167,000 jobs.
Wow. Now, annualize that number, Joan.
Oh, I'd have to multiply that by 12.
Well, now we're looking at 1.8 million, not 1.3, as
you
guys
predicted.
Now, you can't annualize 1 month. But and of course, maybe a lot of those people may have been, you know, part timers for the holidays or something. But still, pretty darn strong. And you know, Joan, the number one thing that keeps small business owners up at night and wakes them up in the middle of the night is where do I find the right people for the jobs that I have. We're still having trouble getting that done.
Number two is how do I keep the good ones I have?
Exactly. So that I don't get robbed by somebody else. And that's not going to get better. It's going to get worse, isn't it?
No. And we were talking about this in a meeting yesterday. Even in industries and regions where unemployment is high, businesses still complain that they can't find the right people. So it's you have a problem of matching people with the right skills, too.
Well, and see, when you understand all the things that you and I just said, and we understand that there's all this upward pressure on salaries because of that, it makes the minimum wage increase such a stupid, ridiculous thing to be doing. I mean, that's all I'm going to say about that, Joan. Don't get excited. I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but it just shows you how incredibly stupid every Republican, every Democrat, every president who buys into the increasing minimum wage because it's the right thing to do idea is just stupid. It makes no sense.
Well, that's a good segue into the news, which is that the House just passed a minimum wage increase to $7.25 an hour.
And the president will sign it. He's already said he would. The question now here's something, Joan, and we're going to get over into the congressional.
Well, will he sign it, though? Would he be willing to sign it with? I guess he hasn't made that clear. He would really rather have a bill that has tax breaks for small business added to it.
Or some kind of health care. In other words, and this is where I was headed with this, I think minimum wage is a foregone conclusion. I think it's going to happen. I don't think nothing's going to stop it. There's not enough backbone in Washington to stop it right now. Not enough reason to prevail over this. But if we could get small business health plans, the association health plans that you've heard me talk about for years now, if we could get full Michael Enzi, Senator from Wyoming's plan, if we could get that 100%, that would be a trade-off that I could live with.
And do you see that? Do you see that coming?
Well, or? I know that it's going to be on the table. I don't see the Democrats leaving it there. I mean, most of the people I talk to who know these things say that Mr. Bush is going to get a clean minimum wage bill. He's not going to get anything with any concessions. Now, I don't think Mr. Bush right now has the backbone to fight this.
And he's not. He has said he would prefer to have something connected with it, but he has not issued a veto threat saying, I won't sign it unless.
He has not done that. That's exactly right. He's not done that. And Joan, also, just giving us some, you know, here's one of the things that I could see them doing. Okay, we're going to raise the Section 179 direct expensing from $112,000 in 07 to $150,000 or something like that. Guess what?
And extend it beyond, I think, 2008.
That doesn't help most small business owners.
Ah.
Most of us don't need $112,000 in direct expensing a year.
Right.
You know, 2, 4, 5, 10, 8, 20, maybe 30, 40, 50,000 is, I mean, that would be a lot for the average small business owner, more than say $10,000. And so all you're doing is you're giving a concession that doesn't help us, most of us, especially not the ones that this would hurt. Stand by, quick break, folks. We'll be right back. We got a lot more to come with our good friend Joan Pride. We're going to talk some more about the post office is up to some stuff you need to know about. 20 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I don't know if this is John Cougar Mellencamp or John Mellencamp. What do you think, Joan? You know which one that is?
Boy, it could be any one or all three.
It's all good, though. I like it all.
Yeah.
Welcome back, folks. Joan Pride is our guest. She's with Kiplinger Editors, and if you know, I like telling you about them. Because they're good folks, and they've been around for a long time. Still a small business, still a family-owned business, which is one of the things I like about them. Not too many people do what they do who still have a family-owned business, and I'm proud of the Kiplinger folks for that. I encourage you to check out their website. It's always good, kiplinger.com, and then they have outstanding publications like the letter that Joan and I work off of every week is the Kiplinger letter, and it's every week, comes out on Friday by email. You'll have it Monday in the post office box, and then they've got three biweekly letters: the tax letter, the California letter, the agriculture letter for our wonderful farmers out there, some of my favorite people on the planet. And then we also have a magazine, right, Joan?
You betcha. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And celebrating 60 years. And Joan, there's a phone number probably too, isn't there?
You're right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Right, right. Joan, let's talk quickly about Governor Schwarzenegger wants to develop a health plan. And it sounds to me like it's very much like the one I heard Governor Mitt Romney, former Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, talk about. Do you think it's like this?
Well, I'm not familiar enough with Governor Romney's plan to be able to say that, but I've heard in the news a lot of connections made between the two.
Well, Governor, the Massachusetts plan is basically for everybody. Actually, it makes it illegal for you not to have health care, just like most states have. It's, you know, you're required to have liability insurance for your car.
Right.
In Massachusetts, you will be required to have health coverage. And what they found out was by negotiating with insurance companies, and by moving the money around that people were paying to cover people who weren't, either couldn't afford it or weren't paying for it. They were letting the government pay for their health care.
Right.
By just moving the money around, they actually were able to pay for it all, with you know, obviously with people paying some for their own if they could afford it. And it worked out where everybody paid a couple hundred bucks a month. And even though I don't like the idea of the government telling me what I have to do, I don't like any of that.
Right.
I couldn't argue with his math. It made economic sense.
Interesting.
But I didn't like the fact that the government said you must have it.
Yes. a mandate on private industry.
I didn't like that. I did not like that part. And so, but I will. I'm going to give you another forecast, Joan.
Excuse me. And was that true? I mean, was there a level below which, you know, if you were a business with that was smaller than X, you did not have to?
No.
Size business.
Everybody.
Wow.
No. Everybody. Every citizen. Never mind businesses. Every citizen in Massachusetts.
So this is not a mandate on employers. Mm-mm. This was
on
individuals.
No, that's exactly right. This is on everybody. Just like if you have a car in Virginia, are you not required by law to have a liability insurance?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. You're breaking the law.
Whether or not I have a car, I think I have to have a liability insurance. I think I do.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. I do.
But anyway, the point I'm making is that Schwarzenegger is working on something very similar to that in California. And the reason why I think it's important to bring this up, Joan, look for healthcare, ladies and gentlemen, with Tommy Thompson, the governor of Massachusetts. What's his name?
Mr. Romney.
Romney. I couldn't. Why did I lose his name? Anyway,
Mitt Romney.
Look for those guys to be making healthcare a major, major plank in their platform. So get ready for that. I promise you, folks, a year from now, you'll know all about those health care plans.
I'll bet.
Joan, let's move over and talk about the post office. Let's move over to the middle of page two. And what's the post office up to these days?
Well, big surprise, another rate hike coming in May. Business mailers will pay 9% more for invoices and mailings and 10% for shipping catalogs and periodicals.
And first class?
First class going up 42 cents from the current 39.
In May?
May. And then more increases coming in 2008.
At what point in time, Joan, do we just break it all down and give it to private?
Well, here's my question to you. Starting in 2009, they're going to go to a new system where there's increases every year that will be tied to inflation. Mm. Now, that means every single year you're going to get an increase, but it's a predictable increase. Do you think that's a better system than what's been going on?
No, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know.
I don't want to know, no. Because if there's nothing...
A little bit of denial there,
If there's nothing scheduled, I can assume maybe we can put it off a little further. I don't want to have to worry about it again
answer, I'll say.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel for the post office, but... And you know what? I like getting my mail every day delivered to me without charge unless I send something. I like that. I got to admit that. And I'm just saying that if it keeps going up like this, Joan, I mean, at some point in time, you know, it's going to be the straw is going to break the camel's back, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And as people migrate more and more and more of their communications and business to electronics, the Postal Service is going to have a tougher and tougher time making a profit.
Absolutely. No question
about it. Not that I'm feeling sorry for them, mind you, but just a fact of life.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about energy. And I'm going to talk with Joan and I are going to talk a little bit about why our energy policy needs to be adjusted for national security, if nothing else. Tintel, stay with us. Seven till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Joan Pride. Not just a regular visit, not just any old visit with Joan Pride. It's a great visit, and we're talking about things that are going on in our lives today. One of the things, Joan, that you guys point out on page three is of the Kiplinger letter is that big oil is staying out of ethanol production for now.
For now. But
is that denial on their part?
Well, we don't think it's going to last. That's the thing. Because we think the ethanol market is going to be pretty brisk, and we think they're going to want to get their piece of it.
Mm-hmm. The big problem with ethanol is until it gets to the point where you can make a lot more of it, it's more efficient to make it. than it is now. You know, ethanol is not going to be great. In other words, in a lot of ways, when you're making ethanol today, you know, you're only gaining a gallon by, you know, you're having to burn 2 gallons of energy to get 3 gallons of ethanol.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And that's not a, folks, I didn't say that very well. There's a better, you know, more technical way that makes more sense than what I said. But basically, that's it. It's just not as efficient as it needs to be. Plus, Joan, you know, it's got to be something. There's got to be a culture change. I think people are not all that excited about it. I'm not sure all cars can run on this. You know, the blend, maybe the blended stuff they can. But Joan, the thing is, I think you'd agree with me, we have to have an energy policy, which we've never had under all these presidents. We've never had a really proactive, visionary, now 21st century energy policy but in any Congress or any president that says, okay, in 10 years, we will be 80%, let's say, self-sufficient through our own oil drilling, our own production, and we'll bring in no more than 20% of what we need or whatever the percentage is from outside sources. And if we could do that, Joan, that would change our national security picture, wouldn't it?
Oh, I would think tremendously, sure.
Yeah, it would change it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. It would increase our ability to compete without being beholden to others. Joan,
exactly.
Right now, if the Middle East erupted into some kind of a major, you know, war like Europe did 60 years ago, it would hurt the United States significantly. It would hurt the global marketplace, but especially it would hurt us.
Absolutely.
That's a tinderbox over there, folks, that could really be a problem. And I think we need to figure out a way to get unstuck from it. And I don't think it's just conservation, Joan. We've got to have a lot of different ways, right?
Right.
I think. Anyway. All right. What about Congress, Joan? What happened to Ms. Pelosi's 100-hour plan? She's way over 100 hours, Joan.
Oh,
I haven't seen a lot of it.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Way
no,
over
I don't
100
think hours. So. No,
oh, yeah.
They don't count. It depends on what is, you know.
Oh.
No, I mean, they count hours differently than the regular person.
Oh, so 1 + 1 isn't 2.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know why I did. I should have known that, Joan.
Yeah, they count.
I don't know why that surprises me.
Legislative hours. As opposed to real world hours.
And these are the same people who.
So I think the 100 hours we get to in, I think, I don't know, May.
Okay.
No, I'm exaggerating, but
These are the same people who robbed the Social Security Trust Fund, left IOUs, and thought that was okay. So I guess if you can do that kind of math, I guess that's okay. I guess you can.
Well, you know Congress.
Unbelievable. So what are they going to do, Joan? What's their plan?
Well, in you're talking about the minimum wage, which they already took care of.
They went in the House.
In the House.
Right.
And now it moves over to the Senate. But there's going to be, as we said earlier, there's going to be a lot of talk in the Senate about attaching a package of small business tax breaks to the minimum wage. Now, the question is whether that will really be attached to that or whether that will be done separately later on.
Never happen.
Oh, you heard it here first.
It'll never happen. Have you heard, Joan, have you heard anything about the family leave getting, you know, Kennedy wants the Family Leave Act to get to be below 50 employees. Have you heard anything about him trying to resurrect that?
I'm sure he will. It'll never happen.
Yeah, but I don't know. Have you heard anything about requiring companies to give employees a certain number of sick days a year? Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard things about that, sure.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Democrat leadership, folks. When things like that happen, that's what happens when you got folks who don't understand the marketplace running the asylum. When you got those inmates running the asylum, Joan. What about the Katrina? Is there going to be a bipartisan commission on Katrina?
Right. There's going to be a bipartisan commission set up, and as we put it, expect more hand wringing and finger pointing than action.
Yeah. So after all this time, you know, all they're going to do is blame people, not really get anything done.
Right.
Welcome to Washington, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.